I'm very thankful today that we have an opportunity to turn now to Romans 13, because this is November. It's a time of the year when we have many of our elections and so forth, a time when we focus on government and the needs of government. We also had a time in the middle of this week when our veterans were remembered, and I was glad to see that happening in so many wonderful ways. And what we're going to talk about today, in some ways, even has to do with the work that people who are veterans have done. We're going to turn now to Romans chapter 13, and we will be reading the first seven verses. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed. To them taxes, to whom taxes are owed. Revenue, to whom revenue is owed. Respect, to whom respect is owed. Honor, to whom honor is owed. This is a passage, congregation, that talks about our attitudes and our actions toward government. And this is something, of course, that people have many different ideas about, many different opinions. People do not all think the same when it comes to government ideas. But nonetheless, what we're going to tell you today, we do not apologize for, because we believe it's clearly the Word of God here, as we hope you can see from our exposition this morning. We want to look at two things today in particular. Number one, that we should be in submission to government. This is something that God expects of us. Christians have been called out of the world to follow Christ, but they still have responsibilities in this world, including responsibilities to the state government. And God has established government in this world to provide order, to provide cohesion, so that people are able to live together in peace and in harmony. He's established government to protect the innocent and also to be the punisher of the evildoer. Because we are selfish sinners, this is why we need government to maintain care and justice, especially for people who are poor and needy. It was mentioned here this morning that in many respects it seems like evil is more abundant now than it has been, and seems that it continues to get worse. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more evil men are going to wax worse and worse. So this is not a surprise. This is just proof positive, again, that the Bible is never wrong. What the Bible tells us, even about the so-called progress of evil in the world, is something that is happening even as the Scriptures teach. As we notice, the Bible tells us there that rebellion against government is something that God takes very seriously. Rebellion in the case of people who rebel against government, they are not rebelling, first of all, against government, but against God himself, who has given government to us. If God had left this world of sin to just function on its own, we would have total chaos. The other night here on Wednesday night, we did a quick study of the book of Judges. And if you know anything about the book of Judges, there are seven cycles that occur again, seven different times in that book of the book of Judges. And in each case, we are led to understand that the reason why all of these problems were happening was because there was no authority in Israel, and every man was out doing what was right in his own eyes. Now, if everybody's living the way that they want to and doing what is right in their own eyes, we're going to have a real mess, and that's what happened to Israel, too. And, of course, a lot of this was brought on in Israel's case because of the fact that they were not honoring God in as the authority in their nation. Also, they were ignoring God's commandments and his covenant that he had given to them at Mount Sinai, the covenant also that they had been warned about at Palestine in that area between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. God had reaffirmed again that initial covenant, warning the people that if they wanted to be blessed, this is what they needed to do. If they wanted to have curses come upon their nation, they could also bring that about by disobedience to the authority that God had given. Obeying the law and doing good is something that usually meets with government approval. Now, there are times when people do good and yet are not treated right by government in spite of that fact. And we'll address that briefly this morning, too. But nonetheless, as Paul indicates here, he is envisioning a situation where, under most circumstances, government is helpful for the citizens of the nation rather than harmful, because people need to be under authority. Nobody also, by the way, deserves to be in authority who is not also under authority. Every one of the citizens of our nation and of the people who live within the land need to recognize that we are all under authority, from the highest people in government right on down to the lowest position, supposedly, in our nation. Everyone is under authority, and that authority is God-given. Now, because of all of these things, and because Paul makes it so clear what a Christian lifestyle should be in this matter, it's certainly expected, then, that the Christian ought to be the very best citizen in our country as possible. Christians ought to be the ones who are model citizens. Although the church is not actively involved in political activities, I don't believe that's our role to fulfill here. It's all right to have political opinions. It's also all right to vote as you feel led to do. But we are not, as you know here from our ministry here, we do not get involved in political affairs per se. We don't even preach about various political positions here. We talk about what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says it, it's open for us to preach and teach about. Otherwise, we leave it alone because we're going beyond the role of what a church should be doing. Now, does it mean that Christians who are being model citizens, obeying government in society, does this mean that they can have no effect for good, even in terms of their religious faith? Well, I think when you reflect on the Bible itself, you know that there are many godly people who were greatly used of God to minister effectively within their own countries, even though not everyone was following the Lord as they should. You think about the man Joseph and how he saved not only the nation of Egypt, but also many of the other people in the surrounding areas as well. When the country there came under a time of famine and there was great distress in the land, yet God used this man Joseph with all of his wisdom, with all of his integrity and honesty to be able to be a blessing to the people of Egypt. We know too about great people like Daniel. Daniel was a man who lived his faith in his own personal life. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who studied. He was a man who knew the Word of God. And he was a man who sought to follow God at all times in his life. And of course, look at how God used him again and again. He was shown to be one of the wisest men in all the land. I'll tell you, if you want wisdom, my friend, you'll find it in the Word of God. It's God's Word that is a word of wisdom. And certainly for Christians to know God's Word and to let that impact their personal lives so that it affects others around them as well, even to the levels of government. There's nothing wrong with that. This is something that we should expect. We see this, as I said, in Joseph. We see this in Daniel. We even see this in Esther. Esther was a woman that found herself without her own doing, now placed in a position where she was in a very high position, and yet also one that had very great responsibilities, and she had to be very careful about what she did and what she said. Yet she honored God, and she did the things that were right, and in the end, God used her also to bless the entire people of Israel within the land where she was living. All of these things are a reminder to us that Christians can make a difference. They can make a difference through their prayers. They can make a difference through how they vote. They can make a difference between how they conduct themselves in society and the good that they seek to do for the rest of our society and our culture here. All of these things can make it so that our nation is blessed because there are Christians in it rather than not being blessed. The authority of government includes even the divinely given right to exercise the power of life and death. I know that there are people who do not believe in capital punishment, but I want to tell you something. I don't find that in the Bible. I find capital punishment is in the Bible. We see it even right here in the passage that we read. What does it tell us? It tells us that government bears the sword because God has given them the right to bear the sword, to exercise authority, even in the taking of human life if it is necessary. And though we are saddened when we see people take this into their own hands, as has happened in various places in the world, even most recently, yet we realize that for government to respond to this kind of thing is only to be expected. It is government's role to protect, to preserve, to keep people safe. And because of this fact, there may even be times when government has to take up the sword, so to speak, to take up the ability to protect and to use force even to prevent sad things from happening. This is something that Paul talks about very clearly. This is something that God gave to government throughout history. God gave this right to Israel. God also gave this right to other nations. And when it was properly used, it was something that is honoring to God just as much as following any of the other commandments that God has given. The Bible tells us thou shalt not kill. However, the word there is thou shalt not murder. No one of us has the right to go out and just innocently take somebody else's life because we don't like them. But on the other hand, there are times when government may be called upon to exercise true vengeance, including even the matter of life and death, as Paul seems to mention here. So let's keep that thought in mind. We are told also that those who murder other human beings may be put to death as evildoers. This is something that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And if you want to find that passage, look it up on your own sometime. Genesis 9 verse 6 makes this very clear that God has permitted government to have the authority as God's agent of wrath to bring punishment on evildoers. Now, we are not only to submit to authorities because of possible punishment that may come if we don't, but we are also to submit to authority because of conscience sake. As Christians, we should so be led in our consciences to do what is right and pleasing to God. Our consciences should not be seared so that we find ourselves able to do all sorts of things that are contrary to God without feeling any remorse or any pain about it. On the contrary, we are, for conscience sake, as Paul tells us here, to follow government. Therefore, we must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. The Bible, however, does teach us that in the following of our conscience, we are to follow the conscience only so far as government is asking us to obey what God himself has declared. And if God is asking us, or the government rather, is asking us to do things that God has opposed, then we are to follow God always. All authority comes from God. When you follow God in his authority, even if it seems to be contrary to some of the laws or regulations, when you follow God as the final authority, you'll find that in the end you are supporting where true authority exists. It's in him alone. Think about some of the examples that are in Scripture where people have had to follow proper authority, the authority of God, when it came that they were being asked by those in authority to do the wrong thing. Acts chapter 5 tells us about how the apostles one day were told that they had to stop preaching in Jesus' name. That if they didn't stop preaching in Jesus' name, that they would be taken care of, that they would be put to death. And, of course, you know the answer. They said, we must obey God and not man. And that certainly ought to be the standard of every Christian, too. We are to proclaim the Word of God no matter what. The Word of God is something that we are called upon to do. We're not necessarily called upon to get involved in wiping out innocent people. But I'll tell you one thing. We are called upon to bless people, and that is to bring the Word of God to them. The apostles seem to recognize this, that they had that authority given to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Think back, too, to the story of Egypt when Pharaoh demanded that all the male Israelite babies be put to death at birth. And you remember that the Israelites at that time rapidly were an expanding population, and knowing that they were being expected to kill off all the boy babies that were being born, Moses' parents refused to do this. The Bible says that by faith they did this. They refused to submit to this wrongful action on the part of Pharaoh. And what did they do? They hid Moses. They kept him alive. Moses became used of God to become a great blessing, not only in the history of the Israelite people and in Egypt also, but he has been a blessing to all of the world even up to this very day. And we need to realize that when Moses' family took that responsibility to do the God-honoring thing, that God was behind this. When others followed their example, when the Hebrew midwives hid away these small babies so that they, upon birth, were quickly taken away where they would be kept safe, they were later questioned about this, and they simply said, well, they're just born so quick that what else can we do? You know, somebody might say, well, they lied, that's wrong. But you know what? What did the Bible think about this? The Bible said that they were blessed by God because in the matter of preserving human life, they took that as a primary thing that God had commanded them to do this. We know, for example, that in the New Testament, that the Bible tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, some very important words. What about stories like the Hebrew midwives in the Bible? How are we supposed to respond to things like that? Well, Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. What does this mean, that whatever was written in former days? We're talking about the Old Testament, even before Paul had given the book of Romans. And what does the Bible tell us in those former writings? It tells us that God approved when people took actions that were honoring him and obeying him, even if it meant disobeying people like Pharaoh. So, to kind of put this together here, let's understand that Most of the time, government represents good, and it is to be followed, it is to be obeyed, we are to submit to it. The only exception to that is when government demands that we do something that is clearly against what the Word of God teaches. And if it commands us to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, then we are to follow God. Well, some people say, well, I guess that means then I can get out of my taxes. After all, I think a lot of the tax money is not very honoring to God. People require all sorts of things for us, and yet the Bible tells us what to do about that situation too. Not only are we to be submissive to government, but we are also to be supportive of government. You notice what Paul says here, pay to all what is owed. Okay? He tells us in verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. Do you think that anyone here today would probably agree on everything that ought to be done with the tax dollars? I doubt it very much. If we sat down and we took a private question and an answer session with every one of you, you'd probably all have different ideas about how your tax dollars should be spent. We'll never reach agreement about that. What Paul says we should be agreed about is this, that we need to be paying the taxes that are required of us. And I know there are people who, in light of what I just said about obeying God above all, rather than government, if it forces us to do things that are contrary to his will, some people have said, well, I guess that means that, you know, I don't have to pay my taxes either. No, the Bible makes very clear that that is not one of those areas of escape where we can just get out because we don't agree with where the tax dollars are going. Bible makes it very clear here that our submission to government includes the necessity of paying our taxes. Now that might upset you sometimes. You might look at waste. You might look at fraud. You might see all sorts of things that are happening that are not according to your liking. But I want to tell you something. If those things are happening in government, who's going to have to deal with it then? Not you. Government will. And if government is the one that's involved in it, then God will take care of that, okay? We leave it in God's hands because he is the one to put things right. Paul says that paying taxes is one way which Christians show honor to the authorities that God has placed over them. After all, this is a great country. But you know what? It takes a lot of money to run a great country. You say, well, I don't think it takes as much as what they get. Well, we'll never agree on how much is the right amount. But I'll tell you one thing. It is important that our country have the revenue that it needs to be able to continue to function. That includes even the ability to have sufficient power to protect the citizens of a country against evildoers who want to take the life of others innocently, which is totally wrong. Government needs sufficient wherewithal in terms of financial revenue to be able to carry on its duties and responsibilities. So, Paul's answer, pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. I want to just conclude today by reminding you that every year around this time in November, we have, not maybe every year, but many years, we have elections taking place. And you know, people have lots of opinions about candidates and about positions and all of that, and they say a lot of things. I find that this is an area where it's very difficult sometimes to not speak wrongly against those who are in authority. It's very easy to criticize people by name and to say all kinds of things against people who are in positions of authority and to run them down, and yet the Bible says that that isn't right either. Not only are we to pay our taxes, but we're also to show respect to the ruler who is in positions of authority. Now, you say, well, I don't have any respect for that individual. That man or that woman doesn't deserve our respect. Well, maybe not, but their office does. And therefore, we ought to show to those who hold those offices a certain amount of respect and to show that we honor them, even if we find it difficult to do. The Bible makes no exception to that. It doesn't say only if it's the right kind of person. You know, throughout years, people have had to live under many difficult circumstances. You think about people that lived under Hitler and under Mussolini and some of these other great dictators in many parts of the world. What a difficult thing it was. But you know what? Even in times like that where there were many tragic things that were happening because of government, yet there was also many blessings that were still continuing because there was a certain order and a certain being able to carry on the functions of government just because there was this order that government brings. And if these people who were in government were doing many things that were wrong, the Bible says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I'm the one who puts those wrongs right. And be assured of this fact, that one of the great comforts that you can know is that not only that Jesus is coming again, and that someday that you will be taken to be with him, you'll be caught up in the air to meet him in the air, you'll be taken to be with the Lord forever, and that's a wonderful thing to hope for, but it's also important to realize that when Jesus Christ comes as the judge and king of all the universe, that he is also going to put the wrongs of this world right. No matter how things may get very out of kilter in our world today, God is still in control. God is sovereign. God will exercise the final word, the final judgment. And in the end, God will bring things about that someday, I believe, when we see what God has done, we're going to say, he has done things well. At that point, when we stand before him, the Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes hard to stop the mouth, isn't it? Bible says the tongue can no man tame. Sometimes it's easy to talk. But you know what? When we stand before God someday and we see that what he has done and how he has fulfilled everything according to a good and a just plan, even though we didn't understand why he was doing and allowing what happened in the world, when that day comes and every mouth is stopped, we will see that God does all things well. All things, no matter how bad they look, still do work together for good to them that are the loved of God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're a saved man or woman today, you have been called by God to that salvation. If you are a saved man or woman today, you have been called not only to salvation, but also to carry out God's purpose for your life. And even though the things that come into your life may not make a lot of sense always, yet God is still the one in control and who is working all things together. That's the key word there. All things work together for good. It doesn't say that everything that comes into your life is good. It doesn't say that everything that comes in your life or mine is what we like. But it says that somehow God is going to bring all these things together and make the good come out of it. Isn't this what Joseph told his brothers years ago when he finally met up with them after those years of being separated? And they were forced to deal with the fact that they had wrongly treated him and everything, and they felt so much guilt, and they thought just as sure as Father Jacob was off the scene that, Joseph would have them all killed. When they appeared before him again in fear and they were afraid of what could happen to them, what did Joseph say? He said, you meant it for evil, but he said, God meant it for good to save many people alive. God's plans are always working together for good, especially for his people. And you know what? God's plans are always the right plans. We are not God. God is God. Let him be God. Let us honor him as God. Because when we honor God, part of that is also going to include honoring even government which God has placed over us. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. That doesn't say that there are some people that are outside of that, that they don't have to submit to the governing authorities. It says let every person, that's God's word, that's God's will. And that's God's will even for us who are under the authority of Christ the King. We too need to be subject to the governing authorities that God has placed over us. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, many of these things are hard to understand, and yet I believe that as we look at the scriptures here today, we see that these things are really quite plain, that you have given to us a clear direction for our lives. You didn't give us every answer. You didn't give us every explanation of why things are the way they are. But Lord, we've never been called upon to live by explanations. We've been called to live based on commandments and by promises that you have given to us in your holy word. Lord, if we stand on the promises of God and follow the commands of God in our life, this is the way to ultimate blessing. Trusting you, obeying you. No other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Lord, help us to do that, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.